It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Most important. Older than I'm white.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Time to take you home on a Monday. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, and we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Questions, comments, or suggestions, always want to hear from you at 46862. Big hour on the way, including Sean Sedlowski, who will join us in about 16 minutes from now. So Indiana is hosting Omar Bally from Arizona today.
Yeah, Mr. Ballo.
Or Ballo. Yeah, I said Bally.
Bally Sports.
Yeah, I know. I've been saying Bally's all weekend, so it's like get it out of my mind. With the tin caps. But Omar Ballo was at Indiana today, and Hoosiers have already picked up Washington State transfer Miles Rice. Now, where does that leave the Hoosiers when you look at their roster construction? First of all, we talked about it Friday, what they need. And I guess we could ask the listeners to text to us at 46862 on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. What do you think the Hoosiers still need to do to fill a complete roster and have proper roster construction for next year? Here's the guys they've currently got on the roster. Trey Galloway, Anthony Leal, Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, Miles Rice, Gabe Cupps, Ja'Kai Newton, and Bryson Tucker. Now, I think they do need another center, and Ballo would certainly fill that need as a big man. Malik Renew, what are they planning on doing with him? You know, the concern is Mike Woodson, who's priding himself on preparing guys for the NBA. A lot of times you're going to take a guy that you think is going to be a post, and he's going to be a face-up guy on the perimeter. So Khalil Ware is not there. He's going pro, and that means Renew might be the guy that has to step outside. In that case, you might need two bigs, not just one. I do think they need overall size, though. It's starting to become a little bit of a guard-heavy lineup or a 6'5 and under type of lineup. I think they need a couple of guys that 6'7, 6'6, 6'8 range. And certainly still, they have to get shooters. They have to find the shooters. And I don't know where those guys are going to come from. First of all, one of the best shooters out there in the portal is a guy from Belmont, and I'm not sure if he's really prepared for Big Ten play. Cade Tyson, we talked a little bit about him last week. I don't know if he's considered one of those top-tier type of guys, but he is a 46.5% three-point shooter. And Indiana needs shooters. Ryan Conwell, I think, checks a lot of boxes. Yes, he's 6'4", probably plays a little more like 6'5", 6'6". I thought he was about 6'6". When I, you know, from watching him play this year, mm-hmm. I thought he was a little taller than 6'4". But Ryan Conwell out of Indiana State averaged about 17 points per game, shot 41% from three and 85.5% from the free throw line, both areas where the Hoosiers were not great a year ago. I think Payne out of Minnesota, the 6'9 forward, he certainly would help fill a void that they have with Payne. He averaged 10.6 rebounds. He's out of Cottage Grove, Minnesota. He's scheduled to visit or was scheduled to visit with the Hoosiers over the weekend. I think he was visiting. Carlisle out of Stanford, 6'3 guard, 32% three-point shooter, 77% for the free throw line. he's scheduled to visit this weekend. But, you know, you can't just take all the top guys, because then what you have is you have a blue chip roster of a lot of point guards or, you know, ones and twos.
Yeah.
And you don't have the threes and fours. So you've got to somehow construct a roster with these available spots. And you've got to have the right level of depth when it comes to the five position. You've got to have the type of guy you want to complement your five as the four, whether that means it's another big who plays the perimeter, whether it means it's a four-guard lineup. And when I say four-guard, that's not 4'6"-2 guys with Malik Renew. That's, you know, a guard like a Ryan Conwell.
Right.
You know, or Mackenzie Mbako could be counted as almost a fourth perimeter player. But what type of a power forward are you looking for? You're looking for a banger that can get down around the blocks and match up against a guy like Trey Kaufman-Wren. You know, are you thinking matchups in the Big Ten? What are you trying to get? But I do think they still have to find those shooters. I'm not sure they found them in Miles Rice, 27.5% from three. That's not going to get the job done. Now,
no.
Maybe Mike Woodson thinks he's capable of shooting better than that. But he's out there more because of his ability to control pace, to be able to attack and distribute, more point guard than he is shooter. But the Hoosiers definitely need to pick up a couple of shooters.
Absolutely. Taking a look at the text line, 46862, if you want to weigh in. Somebody said the Hoosiers need shooting. They mentioned Connor Hickman from Belmont and
yep.
Bloomington High South.
No, Connor Hickman is from Bradley.
Okay. So
I think it's Bradley.
We'll make sure here. But
he's from the Missouri Valley. Yeah, because Hickman is
Bradley,
a guy they've had their eye on. And,
so just the wrong university. But Connor Hickman from Bradley, they said they visited yesterday, and he's a really good shooter,
Yeah. Like
you mentioned. And then somebody else said that the Hoosiers need a new coach.
Well, okay, those don't go into the transfer portal, although it's been the flavor of the week, hasn't it?
With sure has.
All the coaching changes that we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing with the portal, though. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about the process of the portal and how coaches' roles have changed, because you look at Mike Woodson. Okay, you need to have those portal spots open, because there are guys that are going to be upgrades to your roster that come available, and maybe you can get them. But if you don't have a spot like Purdue, you can't upgrade the roster. Purdue last year was very selective, but they were able to upgrade their roster and perhaps even make the run to the Final Four because they found the right piece to fill in to the current roster out of the transfer portal. Now you've got a Purdue team that doesn't have those spots. You've got Indiana that's got multiple spots. They can go through complete roster reconstruction, but you've got to win the portal. It's not just about developing relationships, and here's almost what it is. It's kind of like, do you like long-term courtships where you develop a relationship? Maybe you start as friends for a while and then the relationship develops. You end up with a long courtship and eventually a marriage. Or are you really good at a show like The Bachelor where you have one date and you're on your knee marrying the person? Because this is speed dating 101. When you get to the portal, you've got that one day, that one visit. First of all, you got to sell them on the visit. Secondly, you got to close them when they make their visit. And that's the whole game plan. So you have a couple of contacts with these guys, and that's it. You've got to win them over. And when you look at a regular recruit as a high school player, you might start a relationship with somebody when they're a sophomore, junior, and then eventually it develops. And by the time they end their junior year, they get into their summer basketball and are ready to head into their senior season. By now, you've had months and maybe even years that you've been nurturing that relationship and building that relationship with that player. Totally different than what you've got in the portal. The portal, a lot of guys, they're one-year, two-year guys. So all they care about is, what does the roster look like today? What would be my playing time next year? That's what they come in wanting. For a freshman, they might look at a program and a style and not be as concerned about that first year, knowing they'll be a freshman and they'll have to earn something that first year. And so you get a guy like Gabe Cupps that comes in. But the only problem you've got with what's happening right now in college basketball is the freshmen or the high school kids that are being recruited, they're coming in to a situation this year that they're taking one of those available spots, and so they're blocking a potential transfer. So they come in, and they may have a more favorable spot than they do in year two. When they get to be a sophomore, now you might have a senior or two that leaves, and the coach decides to replace them with transfer portal guys. All of a sudden, your development is completely blocked off. You don't go from freshman to playing some minutes as a sophomore to being a starter as a junior. You don't have that opportunity. So high school kids that go into these big programs, you might get more playing time as a freshman than you get any other time because the coach is constantly looking to get someone better as you're a sophomore, as you're a junior. Their mission is to get somebody better than you. They want to upgrade their roster, which means they want to see you play as a freshman, maybe see you as a sophomore, and then decide who's in the portal that's better than that guy is, and I'll get them for next year. And so you're constantly having guys that work up a portion of the system, especially at some of the power programs, that get a year or two in, and then they're ending up losing a spot because the coach is pulling in people from the portal to upgrade their roster, and they believe that person was worth bringing in because they were better than you were. Look at how many rosters we've seen that with. And it's happened regularly.
It certainly has, and you just see it happening more and more, honestly, with just the way the transfer portal just kind of continues to build and build on itself after season by season we've seen.
You've got to have so much faith in a coach.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this, there's no loyalty, so don't think you're going to a place because the coach is going to be loyal to you. That isn't it. The coach needs to win games. And if the coach can get somebody that's better than you are, he's got no loyalty to giving you a spot and making sure you play. That's just what happens at the big-time programs.
Mm-hmm.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So we now know one of the games on the Boilermakers schedule next year.
We sure do.
This was breaking news earlier today from John Rothstein, CBS Sports. We got to get the news from Rothstein now because he sleeps in May. Remember,
it's coming up.
That's his phrase.
Yep.
I sleep in May. John Rothstein reported that Purdue is going to play Texas A&M and Buzz Williams on Saturday, December 14th at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. This is the Saturday they got freed up when they canceled the Crossroads Classic. And
right.
So Purdue will play Texas A&M at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, according to multiple sources. I wonder what the other game will be. I don't know what the contract. Last year, was it Indiana State, Ball State? Was that the other game?
That sounds right. I'll have to check here.
I know they still played two games last year, but it wasn't Indiana and Purdue. It wasn't Indiana-Purdue or Notre Dame. It was Purdue. And then the second game, I think, was, I thought it was Indiana State, Ball State.
It is. It was, yeah.
But I don't know what the contract was if they're scheduled to play again this year. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So Chris Ballard is doing Chris Ballard things again. How about DeForest Buckner? He showed up for voluntary off-season workouts and gets handed $46 million the morning he shows up. Not a bad thing, Adam. I came into work this morning, and I'll just tell you, I did not get $46 million. I didn't get $46.
Me neither, so it's okay.
DeForest Buckner, interior, you know, and again, the Colts make this deal. And it seems to me that that's a little high end on the dollar amount. And I justified paying a little extra for Michael Pittman Jr. because he's a skill position player. You've got a young quarterback. You need to have that reliable receiver. And Michael Pittman Jr. has proven to be pretty reliable. Is he a number one? That's debatable. But he is reliable. And he is a guy, I think, that works well with teammates. He's just a good guy. And so I think he's the prime example of a player that you probably can get away with paying a little bit more than their market price to have him there for Anthony Richardson. But DeForest Buckner Is he a top five defensive tackle in the National Football League? I mean, he moved up a spot this year because Aaron Donald retired. But that, other than that,
that does help.
$23 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, you wonder in a year, is it going to be a bad contract that the Colts are going to have on their hands? You've already got, I think, what's questionable with Quentin Nelson. You know, they paid him top dollar at a guard position. Now you've got an interior defensive lineman getting top dollar. You know, the Colts need corners. They need safeties. Corners are not cheap. They need a wide receiver. Wide receivers are not cheap. And instead, they're handing out their money to interior defensive linemen and offensive linemen. And I just feel like, kind of like roster management in college basketball, where you try to put together a roster that has the right mix of point guard, shooting guard, you know, forwards that you can rotate in different situations, and big men. I think you've got the same thing with the Colts. And I think right now, I'm not sure if the Colts' money distribution is equal to player value. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. It is Caitlin Clark Day in Indiana. Tonight, the Indiana Fever will officially make the Prada-wearing Caitlin Clark officially the number one pick in the WNBA draft. And, of course, that Prada, courtesy of Scott Agnes, who filled us in on what designer she's wearing tonight for the draft.
Gotta know.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, well.
I, you know what, Adam? I could care less. She could show up in jeans and a T-shirt. I'm fine with that. But she showed up with Prada, for those asking.
Fancy.
Did anybody ask? I don't know. But that is tonight, 7:30. The draft officially begins in Brooklyn. All right, Sean Sidlowski is going to join us on the other side of the break. I told you, the other end of the portal news is coming fast and furious. Just talked about it minutes ago. Indiana Hoosiers need shooters, and they just had one that slipped away. Connor Hickman, the guard we just spoke about from Bradley, is heading to Cincinnati. Breaking news just out that Connor Hickman is going to the Cincinnati Bearcats. So cross that one off your list, Hoosiers fans. Joining us right now here on the Sports Rush guest line, former, I can't say that. That's that. I'm not going to make that decision. Fort Wayne Comet forward, Sean Sidlowski. Sid, I honestly, I'm not trying to announce anything here. It's totally your decision. That was a complete Freudian slip.
No, you're totally fine. I know you meant no harm by it, so you're all good there.
I was trying to say forward, and then it started to come out as former, and I'm like, oh, God, I can't believe I just did that.
Trust me, I have to remind myself to breathe sometimes, let alone remember how to talk, so you're all right.
Sean, let's talk about the season that was. Has it sunk in yet that the regular season is over and there's no playoff hockey in Fort Wayne?
No, not. It doesn't feel too real yet. Maybe it sunk in a little bit at the game last night, now that I think about it, just because obviously it's the first time we played a game here that, you know, didn't really mean anything, and which isn't the best feeling. And but we still went out there, wanted to win the game. Unfortunately, we didn't. But it is what it is. Unfortunately, we just didn't earn it this year. And this is just a good learning lesson for a lot of guys that, you know, it's tough to make the playoffs in pro hockey, and it's more challenging than what they're used to. And like I said, learning lesson for a lot of guys.
How easy is it for you to turn the page, and is it easier now at this point in your career than maybe it was earlier in your career?
Yeah, it's something every guy thinks about when you get towards my age or you get past 30. You know, your time's going to come eventually, whether it's in a year or two or five. It happens to everyone. So, I think it might be a little easier at this stage and my career, if I do decide to do that, I've made it no secret that I am kind of erring on the side of retirement at the moment, but there's no final decision being made just yet. I know I have a little bit to think about it, so we'll see if anything changes. But, you know, when I do think about it, it would be a little easier just because, you know, I think I've done a lot of what I've wanted to do in my career. I don't think there's too much personally left for me to accomplish. Really just playing for the love of the game still and, you know, wanting to compete, always be a competitor at heart. But, you know, with winning a championship that year, that's obviously been our main goal since I got here, and being able to do that. And, you know, that was probably the best moment of my career, definitely was, and I'm sure it will be. And it's obviously tough to get back to that point. It took me 10 years to even do that. So I think after doing that, it would make the decision a little easier for sure.
John Sidlowski joining us here on the Sports Rush. I mean, maybe you don't have anything left to prove in the game, but do you have anything left to give to the game? Because I know that was the discussion we had a year ago, that you still felt like you had something you could give to the game, and the game clearly gives something back to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just might be in a different capacity now. You know, I definitely am always going to want to stay involved in the game, whether it's coaching a local youth team or, you know, doing the hockey lessons like I still do and like to do. It's just, it's fun being able to, you know, teach kids stuff. You know, it's obviously they don't have all the tools yet, and if you can help them improve and, you know, as you go along with them and you watch them improve, it's almost just as rewarding as doing it yourself. Because it's fun to see them have fun, and it's fun to see them get better and, you know, want to learn more. And, you know, it kind of just builds, and you build a relationship with these kids. And, you know, sometimes a lot of them get to grow up and get to do something like I have or go even further. And it's fun to be a part of those journeys, too, just as much as it was to have mine. And, you know, if I could just continue to be a part of the game that way and help others have success the way a lot of people have helped me, you know, I would feel very, very good about that, and that's something I'm definitely still very passionate about.
How was this season different? Did you ever take a moment or two throughout the season to kind of soak it in and just appreciate where you're at and what blessings you've had in your life? I mean, you know, the season is such a grind and goes so fast, but did you approach it differently? Did you ever, I guess the phrase would be, stop to smell the roses along the way?
I tried. It's tough to do just because really up until like last night, you know, you just never know when it's going to be the end. You know, I really did kind of hope we went into the playoffs and, you know, whether we won or just lost, it would have just been over in that moment. And I kind of really wouldn't have, you know, known at any certain point. And I think that would have been a little bit easier. But, you know, there were a couple times. I mean, when I got to play in Toledo on Saturday and, you know, knew we needed to win that game, I did stop myself a couple times and kind of just look around and really just feel the energy. And, you know, I wanted to take kind of that mental picture, and I definitely did that a couple times last night too. And I got to do it a little at the end of the game, which is, you know, something I was very appreciative of our guys doing, which we're heading off the ice, and, you know, a lot of them just kept yelling at me to do a lap, take a lap, skate a lap. And so I finally did it. And, you know, it was nice because obviously the fans were great and applauding, and just to have the boys on the ice too, you know, clapping their hands or tapping their sticks, stuff like that. I mean, that meant a lot for me because, you know, a lot of those guys are so young, they probably never had a teammate retire before. And so I didn't really know if they, you know, knew the significance of what it meant to me, but they obviously did. And I'm glad they kind of forced me for that lap because that was the time I got to kind of skate around a little bit and just, you know, appreciate the fans and appreciate them. And, yeah, it was a cool moment.
Well, and there's always been such an intimate relationship in this town with Comet hockey fans and the players. And you've been one of those guys that's been around for a long time. What were your thoughts when you did make that lap? I mean, did you have any specific thoughts you can remember or share with us?
To be honest, I mean, I was quick to tears, obviously, skating around and, you know, just getting that, you know, that admiration from the fans is just something I never, like, I don't think that's really ever a goal of any player when they start. You know, they just want to make it as far as they can. I don't think anyone sits there and goes, oh, I want to be a fan favorite when I grow up. Like, that's never something you imagine happening or having, like, such a support system and stuff like that. That's, you know, it's obviously something that's happened for me here and, you know, never something I asked for, but something that I'll forever cherish. And so that was it. I just wanted to really look around at the fans, and to be honest, the only thought that was going through my head was, this sucks. Like, it's tough to deal with, and I didn't want it to be my last time. And, you know, you're just in that moment. It's very bittersweet because, like I said, I appreciate everyone, you know, who's supported me throughout these years. And at the same time, you're just sitting there going, man, I can't believe I don't get to do this again. So it's just a weird mix of emotions. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, I wanted to enjoy the game last night, almost kid-like. And I think I did the best I could at that and had my family there. And yeah, it was an overall very good experience for me if it was my last game.
Of course, nothing's official. You said you were leaning toward retirement, but is there a timeline that you want to make it make your final decision, or is it something you want to wait until next year and see how things feel?
Yeah, you know, I might have to make that decision a little quicker if I really am going to move on, just because, you know, you get home in the summer and, you know, a lot of guys, you know, you're doing hockey lessons or, you know, some other guys do have other jobs that they go and work. But, mm-hmm. you know, for me, it's just some of the hockey lessons and stuff like that to where, you know, I make enough to pay my bills and, you know, not necessarily raking in the cash or anything like that. You know, you don't have your paycheck from, you know, hockey in the off season. So, you know, you really kind of got to commit to another job, and it kind of takes away from your being able to work out and skate and, you know, be as ready as you can be for the next season. So that's just something that I have to really figure out within the next month, I'd say, is really which way do I want to commit to at the moment. Because, you know, if I do try something else this summer and, you know, do it for a couple months and, you know, who knows, maybe I don't enjoy it, or maybe the itch comes back again just like it did last summer. I'm sure it will. So I think it'll be a little quick this summer, but, you know, who knows, come October, things can change pretty quick.
Well, best of luck to you in your off season, and enjoy the year end event. You're going to be present for that?
Yes, definitely will be.
And of course, it'll be fun to see because they got the jersey auction. And so, you know, if it is officially your retirement, I'm sure that's going to add a little value to your jersey as well, Sean. Have a great time. Have a great off season. Stay well. Don't be a stranger, regardless of what happens here in the future. We've always enjoyed having you on the show.
Well, thanks, Brad. I always do appreciate it. Like I said, and yeah, I'll be back a couple times this summer, so I definitely won't be a stranger.
Yep. Appreciate that, Sean. That is Sean Sidlowski joining us here on the Sports Rush on our guest line. Class act. He's, you know, it's so tough because, you know, you... Sometimes you just, your heart so much wants to keep playing the game you love. But at some point, the body doesn't have that same type of response. And the other thing, too, is you've got to have a team that wants you.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, this is not anything against Sean. I'm just saying, in general, you get to a point where a team roster spot, where there's only so many to give, do you bring in a younger guy? Or do you bring back the veteran who, you know, may cost you money, may cost you more money. And so, you know, but I think Sean gave us everything that we were hoping to get from him this year, and, couldn't have, had more class the way he went about this season. It's just unfortunate that it's not like riding off on the white horse, because Thomas didn't make the playoffs.
Absolutely. But like you said, Sean Sid has just done a fantastic job of representing the Comets and kind of standing what they mean to for the city. So
I don't think it will be long, and that banner will be raised for Sean Sidlowski.
Yeah.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. We'll take a break. More updates on the transfer portal, some of the more breaking news that we just got. Also, NBA playoffs. They get started this week. We'll tell you who the play-in games will be, maybe even try to pick some winners. It's coming up on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, and you're connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Tell us what's on your brain today. If you're an Indiana Hoosiers fan, who's your top target right now? Just lost Connor Hickman. I heard a lot of people that were saying, got to get Hickman, got to get Connor Hickman, the kid out of Bradley who is a 40% three-point shooter, scored 14.5 points per game last year for the Braves. He is going to Cincinnati. Local product out of Bloomington. Everybody thought that that Indiana had the inside track on Hickman. And you wonder if the fact that they got Bryson Tucker and then picked up Miles Rice, that if that was something where he thought, okay, it's getting crowded at the position. You got Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway coming back. Then you add those two pieces out of, recruiting. And, mm-hmm. and then you start to wonder, is there a spot for him to play? And maybe the roster had more vacancy at Cincinnati. But he is not going to be a Hoosier, so you can scratch him off the list.
Yep, he's gone. go ahead.
Today, though, Umar Ballo,
yeah,
the big man out of Arizona, 7-foot center, was visiting Indiana.
And his Instagram story right now is a picture of him in an Indiana jersey and candy stripe pants. And it's a poll question on his Instagram story.
Oh, yeah.
He's put a Hoosier ? And you can simply answer yes or no on his Instagram story right now, Mr. Ballo.
Connor Asesian did that over the weekend.
He sure did.
What'd you think with the Terp Nation or something,
yeah,
with the Maryland jersey?
Maybe that's the new thing, kind of gauging a fan base's response.
Yeah, is the, you know, but does your ego need it, really?
I don't think so.
Maybe not, but I've never been good enough to have that kind of response. So, and I didn't have social media either when I played, so
true.
Who knows what. But maybe that's how you play the game of social media.
Maybe. Here's a fun little tidbit, though. This is from Jeff Rabjohns. He said, Cincinnati assistant Drew Adams, a Bloomington native, was instrumental in landing Connor Hickman.
Huh. Well, it would have been nice if maybe Jordan Halls or somebody would have done a nice job recruiting him into Bloomington at IU. Where are they going to get their shooter? I mean, that's the big question. Where are they going to get their shooter?
Well, a text that we did get on the text line, 46862, somebody did mention Connor Asesian for sharp shooting. 3-point dagger is what they said. They said he would be awesome if he gets legitimate minutes.
I don't see the fit with IU, only because you're trading the threes and giving up perhaps a little bit of defense. And, you know, it's like, okay, you've got Galloway, you've got Asesian, you've got Leal. Then you add into that mix Miles Rice,
yeah,
Gabe Cups. I mean, you're starting to put a lot of guards. I think they need somebody that's more of that
forward
three man.
Yeah.
Where Asesian's a definite two man.
Definitely.
I think they need a small forward. Somebody. That's why I'm so high on Ryan Conwell.
Mm-hmm.
I think whoever lands him is going to be real happy that they got him, because Conwell's listed at 6'4". I think he plays a little bigger than 6'4", but a 41% three-point shooter, 17-point-per-game score for the Sycamores. I like Conwell. But
well, look out. Conwell's taking a visit to Ohio State today.
Oh.
Chris Holtman. Not Chris Holtman.
No, not Holtman.
Jake Diebler.
Diebler.
There we go.
Holtman's doing well, though, at DePaul.
He is.
He picked up a couple of guys today.
Look at me.
So, you know, and that's a roster that's got a lot of holes. Just,
hey, but credit to Diebler. He's been doing well too. I think he got one of the Kentucky transfers, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And of course, Boogie Fland is available now.
Yeah.
Another point guard. I don't know that takes care
of. Does Fland follow Calipari to Arkansas?
There's thoughts of that. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. Every time somebody leaves after a coach leaves, that's the thought. Now, you were telling me earlier, speaking of following a coach, that Avila,
yeah,
Robbie Avila of Indiana State, may be looking at following Josh Schertz to St. Louis.
Yep, he's among a couple Indiana State guys who will visit St. Louis.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine, text line 46862.
The other one is Isaiah Swope, who hit that big three-pointer,
yeah,
right at the end of the game there.
And then you've got The other, what was the other guy that went to Texas?
Yeah. Jason Kent and Julian Larry of Indiana State both went to Texas.
Now, Larry's a big-time shooter as well. I think he was like 43, 44% from three.
Yeah.
And he's going to Texas. So, yeah, that starting five at Indiana State, gone.
Very gone.
They gone.
The assistant coach will have a bit of a task to put together a new Sycamores roster.
Yeah, Coach Graves will have his hands full. News of the day, the Colts have signed an extension with DeForest Buckner, a $46 million contract that covers two additional seasons through the 2026 season. Of course, you remember when the Colts acquired DeForest Buckner, giving up a 13th overall pick to the 49ers back in 2020. Then quickly got him signed to a four-year, $84 million extension. So you do the math, and he was $21 million per year back in 2020, and now the Colts have given him $23 million per year for two additional seasons. So another big contract for DeForest Buckner, another good chunk of money on a big. I'll call him a big. It's like basketball. We're giving our monies to the big, and it's a three-point shooter's game.
Well, he is a big guy.
But no, I mean, it's kind of, you know, football in some ways is kind of like basketball.
Sure.
Where it's a game played on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Wide receivers and, you know, skill players versus a lot of the interior where they seem to be interchangeable parts. But here's a thought, too.
Okay.
Did you hear what happened with Bo Nix and the kid out of Washington?
Oh, Penix?
Yeah, Michael Penix.
No, I didn't.
They have not been invited to the draft.
Huh.
Neither one has been invited to the draft.
Interesting.
Now, a lot of people thought they were going to go in maybe the top 15 picks and the teams would trade up for them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the NFL knows and what information they may have received from teams or scouts, but Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. have not received an invite to the NFL draft.
Very strange. Well, it says here, the NFL will only have 13 incoming players at the draft. Not many more than that were invited. It says the league wanted to keep it no more than 15. But still, to not see those two guys who are projected to go pretty high.
I guess they don't consider them strong enough in the top 15.
Interesting.
But, you know, quarterbacks, you would think, if they have first-round capability. I think what maybe the NFL is trying to do is avoid an Aaron Rodgers situation or...
Yeah, it says here, this move comes as a precautionary measure following the embarrassing slip-up of Will Levis during last year's draft.
Levis didn't even go on the first day.
No, he just was sitting there and they kept showing
and
him.
Then and then had to come back. He had to go buy another suit. I mean, it's like embarrassing when you don't even get picked on the first day when you're in the green room.
So maybe they're just thinking, hey, if we...
We'll shorten the list.
More likely picks.
With the guaranteed picks.
Yeah.
Not the guys that could all of a sudden get a team trade up for them or something.
Sure.
I was a little surprised.
I definitely, yeah, that is surprising. I mean, you see the NBA draft, I feel like everybody's there.
I mean, I don't even know if they give them the option.
Right.
It's not. I mean, if you don't get the invite, you're not welcome to be there.
No, don't go.
And so Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix.
They'll have to throw their own draft parties.
Will they go in the first round?
Ooh, that's tough. I think yes.
I think once we get through the first three or four quarterbacks, you're going to see
a slip,
a drop. Yeah, because what will happen is a lot of guys who are projected to be potential top 10 talent are going to slide in that 10 to 15 range.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the non-quarterbacks.
Right.
Then you're going to have the guys that will slide even further. And maybe, you know, they'll slide to 15 to 20 and they could potentially be close to a top 10 grade on some boards. And eventually you're in the bottom, you know, the bottom picks. And those are the teams that don't necessarily need a quarterback.
I was just going to say that bottom of the first round, you're going to get a lot of those teams that don't need a quarterback.
Right.
So there could be an early first round for either of those guys, or early second round for either of those guys.
That's,
definitely.
I mean, that's why you see situations like Will Levis and some others happen, is because once you get out of that first 12 to 15 picks, the need for quarterback isn't nearly as strong. And teams that are in that 15 to 20 that are desperate for a quarterback, they've got to go up and get the guy they want if they're really in a position that they're going to take a first-round quarterback.
True. Well, we all know the real reason Will Levis fell, though, was the mayonnaise in the coffee. I mean, come on. I'm not drafting that.
Yeah, that was a little embarrassing. But there's still a chance that he could be first-round. I mean, he ultimately could become a legitimate first-round talent. You know, I mean, for a guy that slipped as far as he did going into this next season as a projected starter.
Yeah.
You know, that Tennessee could be handing the keys over to Will Levis for a number of years, so he could come out of this just fine. But it is a lot of public humiliation to sit in that room and go pick after pick after pick and not hear your name called. And so I think that's what the NFL is trying to avoid. 46862, we know one name that's going to get called tonight, speaking of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Caitlin Clark, fresh off her appearance on Saturday Night Live. Part of the Weekend Update. Is that the best segment? That's the only segment worth watching on Saturday Night Live these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not a big SNL guy, but I do like a Weekend Update, but I do miss Seth Meyers.
I'm just amazed at some of the skits that make it, because I'm like, I know that they do like three times the number of skits, and then they weed it down and weed it down, and only the best of the best make the show, and then they come up with some skits, and I'm like, where did they think, who in the room thought this was funny?
Right.
Maybe it's just because I'm getting old. I'm not the target. I'm outside the target market now.
This isn't funny.
But I do think that the Weekend Update is still entertaining television.
I agree. I do miss Seth Meyers on it, though, with the Weekend Update.
Yeah, I mean, you can go back and not only on the Weekend Update, but a lot of the people who were part of the cast that have since left the show left something behind when they departed.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap it up. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Lara Overton from the Indianapolis Colts. You're listening to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Ending the show on some breaking news out of Major League Baseball. Longtime Yankees play-by-play voice, John Sterling. 35 years he's called Yankees games in the Bronx. He has announced his retirement effective immediately. And so we all hope that there's not anything serious that's going on with John Sterling, but he's announced that he is retiring from the Yankees as their radio voice after 35 years. So, wow.
Big wow.
Big shocker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, he's one of those voices in a big market like that, kind of like Vin Scully was in Los Angeles. It's like the Yankees and John Sterling have been synonymous with Michael Kay. You wonder if Michael Kay is going to take over on the radio side. Might be easier to find the television guy than maybe another radio play-by-play guy. All right, that does it for a Monday edition of the Sports Rush. Once again, Indiana fans, Connor Hickman to Cincinnati. Another one to check off the list, not going to join Mike Woodson in Bloomington. Big thanks to our guests that appeared on the show, Scott Agnes from the Fieldhouse Files, and of course, Comet Sean Sidlowski joining us in our second hour. We'll be back tomorrow, another edition of the Sports Rush to take you home 4 to 6 on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.